talking pigskin on NFL. Cause football is really swell. NFL's great and there is no debate. He's gonna talk right now.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 110 of the Dave Damashek football program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. You can find a new shame report there for your perusal. At the time of this recording, you may be able to find a Shek to the future there. Rank and I jump into the near future, next Tuesday to be exact, to divine for you who's going to win all the biggest games. What else there, Rank, man seated to my immediate right? Let's say hello to him from NFL.com, NFL, Fantasy Live, and so on, and also the author of the Like-Dislike column that comes out every Friday. Adam Rank, how are we?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. And as you said, depending on when you are listening to this, the Like-Dislike could already be out there, giving you a jump start on your fantasy football week.
Last thing that came up at the end of episode number 109 that we should do, you know, I'm after now. Now I'm upset about a couple food matters, and then we'll get into football here, you know, we brought up that there are two cuts because we ate Maltesers. Is that what they were
Maltesers,
called from Engler?
Yes.
Maltesers. Black Tie got them in the mail. They're the English version of Whoppers, the little candy with the crunchy, you know, the little balls that have the chocolate on them and crunchy. Pretty good. Better than I expected. But then Whopper, and then there's also the Whopper Burger, of course. We asked which one came first, and it turns out it was the Whopper candy.
Yes.
And so Burger King, an outrage. They stole that. They stole it. There wasn't another word you could use? Burger King?
Well, I don't know if this is if this makes things better or makes things worse, but in Australia,
two kinds of Whoppers in the US of A.
In Australia, the Whopper is known as the Hungry Jack.
Oh, well, then why wouldn't we be calling Burger King? I want the Hungry Jack. It's way better.
There's a restaurant out here called Jack in the Box.
Oh, so
they stole again.
Wow.
Do they have? I was going to say, you could probably go to Russia
this
and it's
is
called
scandalous.
The Big Mac.
This is scandalous. All right, that's enough about that. But, you know, one more thing. Well, first of all, here he comes into Studio 66 right now, all the way from England, you know, just like those Maltesers were, all the way from England. He's also our ambassador for the Miami Dolphins here. He's their biggest fan that we know here. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Dave. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm well. Thank you for asking. And we caught you at the tail end of episode number 109, but we didn't get to have a proper discourse then. So let me ask you, first of all, I know you weren't going to celebrate America's Thanksgiving. And instead, last we heard, just like we heard the music there, you were going to go see James Bond. Did you, in fact, do that?
I did, in fact, do it last week. Yeah, just the night before Thanksgiving Eve, I think you call it. And I had a terrific time. A great movie.
By yourself.
All by myself. I like going and watching movies by myself now. At some point, I'd have been embarrassed about that, but I'm not any longer.
No, I like going to the movies alone.
It was terrific. It's a great movie.
Have you ever eaten alone?
I mean, yes, in life, but not. I haven't been out to eat by myself.
No, that's what I mean.
Occasion.
What
do you
mean?
What do you mean? But how high end? Like a QSR? Like if you're at the corner bakery or something?
I don't know what that means. QSR,
quick serve restaurant.
Why would I possibly know that? I don't even know what quick serve restaurant
is. Is that fast food?
Yeah.
Where did you come up with QSR and quick serve restaurant? I've never heard that in my life.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. No, really. That makes sense. So would Burger King be a QSR?
I would think so.
Well, yeah, no, of course, yes. I've eaten nice meals. I've eaten nice breakfasts and nice lunches. I've never gone out to dinner alone and had a steak by myself. That would be weird, I feel like.
It's a bit sad.
Yeah, I've gotten to see bands by myself. I prefer that because then you're bands more than movies. At least it's a quiet thing. If you go out to see a band that you fancy And then you look over to the guy who, or the guys or the people you're with. If they're not enjoying it, then you feel bad.
Yes.
Then you, well, we have to stick with this. If you're in a movie, you're going to stay till the end anyway. But then the people get fidgety, like, eh, let's get out of here. I'm not into this band. I prefer to go do that by myself. Dave Damashek,
yeah,
loner.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, people don't like me that much and don't want to hang out with me. All right. Congratulations on the Dolphins' victory, Hanson.
Thank you very much. They deserved it. It was a good game.
Can I quickly add something to this really quick?
Oh, look who it is. It's Black Tie.
Hank, for some reason, voted for RT1 over RG3 for Rookie of the Week. Explain that, Hank.
Well, I'm a homer. I mean, that's the most obvious explanation. But other than that, I enjoyed watching his performance. I enjoyed watching RG3's as well. But here, look. RG3 is going to get the most votes. He's probably going to win that award. But but I feel like RT1 deserves my support.
Who's going to be the Rookie of the Year? Do you? We'll start with you, Handsome Hank.
I would give it, if I had to hand it out that award, I would give it to Andrew Luck. I think not only is he Rookie of the Year, I think he's going to be one of the best 5 quarterbacks in NFL history by the time he's done.
Based on
what I've seen now. But I think RG3 will win it because he's... You know, what he's done has been a little bit sexier.
Right. Oh, sexier. Look at that.
Can I say
Black
that?
Tie. Yes. Black Tie started calling Russell Wilson's deep ball sexy, and now the wheels are off. We're throwing sexy around a lot. Speaking of sexy, Rank, how say you?
I think I would agree with Handsome Hank. I think it's going to be Andy Luck. I don't think it's going to be, but for what you say, RG3 is going to get it because he has that perception. But Luck could have his team. It's going to have his team in the playoffs,
right,
which to me is the more impressive deed.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I guess let's wait and see. And the good news is it doesn't really matter. In the NFL, I've talked about this for the last couple of years. Baseball MVP matters and Rookie of the Year matters. It's a weird thing. They don't, you know, the Heisman Trophy, completely irrelevant, and yet people care because it has a name and is a cool trophy.
Yep.
The NFL awards are it's surprise, you know, you think about NHL awards, you know, the Hart Trophy, the MVP trophy, that means more in that sport. The NBA MVP, these awards mean more than they do in the NFL, who wins these awards. It's an odd thing.
The thing that gets me every year is that it's really based, and it's meant to be based, and the reason the picks are made is on their regular season performance.
Yeah,
so
right.
That, like, you've got guys, you've got teams who are in the Super Bowl, and you've, the week before, the MVP's announced, and he may have actually lost the game for them in the wild card round, but because he played great through 16 games, he's handed this MVP award. That makes no sense to me.
That reminds me, I have to pat Dave Damashek on the back because like Dave Kingman, the one-time slugger of the New York Mets and some other baseball teams out there a generation ago, he either hit mammoth home runs or struck out spectacularly. That's sort of the strategy I applied with fantasy advice this year. I really swung for the fences, and I hit it a long way a couple of places. Swung and missed more often, though, a.k.a. I mentioned John Baldwin of the Chiefs would be a top 15 wide receiver this year. That didn't happen, I don't think. Jake Locker. I said Jake Locker was going to have a breakout year and be huge this year, but I get that one gets the asterisk.
He's still coming around.
Well, he's also been hurt. But the one that I said is, I said, stick by Cam Newton. He's going to get back on track. He's going to end up playing well, and we saw that on Monday night. So I feel validated, at least on that count, that Cam Newton is for real, and going forward, he's going to be dynamite, I think, especially if they can add a wide receiver. Anyway, that's who cares about. And we're also, and when we talk about your Dolphins, it reminds of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Handsome. And we're going to talk to Mercedes Lewis here, the great tight end, and our pal who we talked with last year on one of a hard-hitting episode of Talk and Ball. We'll do that. But, you know, something that came up the other day with the Around the League boys, Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler, who are coming up with their debate club later in the show, is, Handsome, I realize the Dolphins, they're right on the cusp. They're in an interesting spot. They could conceivably play their way into a playoff spot right now. But as a fan of theirs, when the likelihood is that they won't, would you rather see them lose out now and so that you get as high a pick as possible?
Okay, well, their next two games against the Patriots and 49ers, so I think, you know, I'm not anticipating them winning either of those two games.
Okay, so if they lose to the Patriots, then they're
then
done. They're not going to make
done.
The
they're pretty
playoffs,
much done.
Right.
No, I don't want to see them lose games. I think when you've got a young quarterback like that, you want to see him play as well as he can through the season. We either have, you know, at this point, the Dolphins, if they lose those two games, maybe they finish 7-9, 8-8, which puts them up around sort of pick 13 to 18, depending on how other things fall out. I don't trust Jeff Ireland, if he is still the general manager in April, to make a better pick with the 13th pick than he would do with the 9th pick. So, no, I would. I want them, I'd rather have the short-term excitement now than go into April getting, oh, well, we've got the 10th pick in the draft, and then they end up messing that up too.
It's interesting. It's that time of year where you mentioned Jeff Ireland, who's calling the shots personnel-wise for the most part down there in Miami. We're hearing a lot of buzz about the same names, Andy Reid. It's a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. He'll be gone. I expect Mike Tannenbaum's going to be gone from the Jets. And so and a lot of coaches are on the chopping block. A team that's had relative success has been a relative surprise in the Dolphins. We're connected to guys like Jeff Darlington, NFL reporter, and guys like that. Are you hearing any buzz that Jeff Ireland is in any jeopardy? I can't imagine.
That he is, but then you look at this year's draft picks. They look like they'd had a good draft, and when you look at Tannehill and everything he's done, and my thought is he'll turn out to be a good player. So their lower picks, sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 round, They're still inactives every week. Got a tight end, which is a position of need for the Dolphins, who've been inactive every week. Lamar Miller, the ex-University of Miami running back, played a little bit, was inactive last week. It's the later picks that haven't panned out.
What a garbage pick that is.
Oh,
I mean, what's he
terrible.
Have to do? I mean, listen, they have Reggie Bush and they have Daniel Thomas. That's a weird, a wasted pick for a team that had a lot of needs.
But you're right. I mean, they needed a receiver big time. We've been talking about that all season, and they didn't manage to do that until the 6th and 7th round. So
could have had Alshon Jeffery as a, for instance.
T.Y. Hilton
right.
would have been a great pick, and they missed out on him as well. But looks like Bush may not be there next year. I think his contract's up after this season, and I'm not sure. You know, he's approaching, must be 29 years old or getting up that way. So
yeah,
it might be time for him to go, and then maybe you have Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller and let them fight it out next year.
We've learned anything, you don't use a high round draft pick on a running back. They're just, I said that about the Browns last year. I just the Trent Richardson pick. There are better places to go. You can find a serviceable running back later in the draft. All right. Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about here with Handsome and Rank and Black Tie. Chime in just a second here. But first, Black Tie, it's time for the weekly tradition of me making my NFL picks in 60 seconds or less. Hit the music! We're coming at you. It's Thursday afternoon before the big game. I'm on my way to Atlanta. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go under the dome, you know. All right, it's the Saints at the Falcons. I'm going to take the Falcons in that one. Cardinals at the Jets. Two lost seasons going here. I'll take the Jets. Watch those Jets win four of their last five here and save some jobs there. Jags at Bills. We'll go with the Bills. Seahawks at the Bears. I'm taking the Bears. Seahawks stink on the road. They couldn't beat the Dolphins. 49ers at the Rams. I'll take the Niners, but the Rams are going to give them a game. Patriots at the Dolphins. Patriots. The Vikings are at the Packers. The Vikings look done for. I'll take the Pack there. Got to get back on track. Colts at Lions. Very interesting game. I'm taking the Lions in that one. And the Panthers are at the Chiefs. Another bum game. I'll take Cam Newton based on what I said earlier and those Panthers. Texans and Titans. Titans. There's no wiggle room. Teams are pressing them for that top seed in the AFC. They got to win these games. Buccaneers at Broncos. That's a tough call. I'm going to go Broncos. Bengals at the Chargers. Bengals. Browns at the Raiders. Oh, a lot of bum games this week. I will take the Raiders, I guess. Steelers at the Ravens. Boy, oh boy. I guess I'll take the Ravens. Eagles at the Cowboys. The Cowboys, and then Monday night, the Giants are at DC Skins. I will take the Giants, who look like they're ready to come on, make their annual little push here as December comes around here. So, all right, so there you go. Let's look at these games real quick here and kibitz about those. Andrew Luck and company sitting there at 7-4 going into the Lions. The Lions pretty much done for after their Thanksgiving Day loss. Andrew Luck, though, I mean, what do we think? Are they going to get that playoff spot? The debate now would seem to be for the two wild card spots, Pittsburgh, Cincy, Indy. I don't know. I mean, there are ways other teams can play their way in there. But it probably comes down to those three. And do we think that Andrew Luck and company are going to hold on to that spot? Not the easiest schedule in the world coming up here. What do we think, fellas? What do we think? It seems now everybody's, oh, yes, the Bengals are in. Now it's the Steelers are not going to make it. What do we think?
The schedule actually isn't too bad for them. I know they've got Houston twice. They play Houston in week 15, but they have Houston in week 17, which is
precisely that is, I know what you're getting to.
Which
right.
is, you know what? Houston might have already locked up because Houston's mm-hmm. already beaten the Ravens.
Houston
so.
Can win. I think they can win their division, or they can definitely get their playoff berth in week 13. And mm-hmm. I think with a win against the Colts in week 14, they'd be able to.
Yeah, they're very close to locking up home field advantage. And when that happens, week 17 would be a mail-in game.
It's a great point, Rank, because that is exactly what might the playoffs may come down to for these wild card teams can come down to whether or not the Texans take care of business on the road in a road game, and then they also have a huge game coming up with New England. So how right. that game goes might determine things. And also, you know, the Ravens game, they have the division wrapped up now. The Ravens hosting the Steelers now, but if they lose that game, I mean they got. I think the prevailing wisdom is that Flacco needs to be one of the top two seeds, needs to have at least one home game for that team
to
go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, the thing with the Ravens, though, I mean, they lost pretty horrifically to the Texans. They were not competitive at all, you know, and it reminds me of...
They did beat the Patriots, though.
They did, but if the Ravens had to go to Houston for the AFC Championship game, it reminds me back in 85 where the Cowboys lost huge... Mm-hmm. to the Bears mm-hmm. in the regular season.
Go
so
ahead.
In the divisional round, Dieter Brock and Eric Dickerson smoked the Cowboys 20-0. They go to the 85 NFC Championship game. I could see something like that playing out for the Ravens.
Rank got the jump on me with the Dieter Brock drop there. But to the larger point,
But
victory against the Patriots, even for the Ravens, that's a nice win. But the story with the Patriots is that they really make their push in the second half of the season. They keep winning games once the second half of the season rolls around. So you can almost throw that one out the window. And so how do we think things are going to shape up here in the AFC then? Who ultimately is going to be the top seed? I guess that comes down to, because as of now,
Ravens schedule. Oh, gosh. Broncos.
Right.
I mean, that could be for the number mm-hmm. two spot. The Giants playing well. Bengals.
This is the thing. Everybody, talk about what have you done for me lately and all the so-called experts. If you listen to them, 95% of them do not look into the crystal ball at all. They just react to whatever just happened. Mm-hmm. So now that Pittsburgh is in a panic. Are they in a panic? Listen, uh-huh. Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, and then so did Ben Roethlisberger's backup. That's the story there. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Forget Roethlisberger. If Byron Leftwich had been under center against the Ravens and then against the Browns, do you think they would have won both those games? I do. I think at worst they would have been 1-1, and things would look a lot different if that had been the case. Certainly, had Byron Leftwich made it through the Ravens game and the Steelers won that, things would look wildly different right now. They would be 8-3, the Ravens. The Steelers would be 7-4 with a chance to jump in front of them with a win in Baltimore. Now, of course, that's not the case here. But handing this division over to the Ravens right now, I think, is specious. Who knows what happens? They've got a puncher's chance. Pittsburgh does going in there. Polamalu may be back out there. We'll see with Roethlisberger. I don't agree with the decision if they do ultimately put Charlie Batch in there to start the game. I'm sincerely, Brian Hoyer's a better choice than old man Batch based on what we saw last Sunday. But, so what do you think? You think the Texans have the first seed?
I think
handsome?
The Texans will keep the first seed. But then you look at the other positions. This weekend, the Broncos and Patriots can already wrap up their divisions with wins. So, you know, that's pretty big to have happened this early in the season.
Well, don't sleep on that, too. The Broncos certainly, everybody wants a bye, and, you know, they would like to be at home as well. The Broncos have probably the easiest path to get
there.
They
have a pretty easy path in from here. The Patriots is not too difficult as well, with the exception of that game you mentioned against the Texans. And then really all we're playing for right now, I believe that Andrew Luck and the Colts will hold on to that. Onto probably the fifth seed, and then really all there's left to play for through the final 3 weeks of the season could be that, in the AFC at least, could be that sixth seed.
Rank, last thing before we get to Mercedes Lewis here, is on the other side of things, what we were talking about at the start of the season, talk about what have you done for me lately, at the start of the season, we were saying, well, there are three NFC teams better than anybody in the AFC. The best team in the AFC can't match up. Now I almost feel like it's reversed. Who do you buy in the NFC as a legitimate team that might win this, not get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl? Atlanta with Matt Ryan? Green Bay? After they just get smoked, the Giants maybe. I mean, I guess they're going to win their division at the very least. Who do you buy out of the NFC as a legitimate juggernaut?
San Francisco.
Yep.
Now that they got Kaepernick with the kid.
Kaepernick will have one game between now and the end of the season where we all go, oh, wait a second, maybe he's not quite as good as we thought he was. Because young quarterbacks who are new to starting do that.
Yep, I mean, it's interesting.
That's going to happen.
All right, listen, Handsome, thank you for coming in here, and we got to get to your letter here real quick. But first, we've got him on the line from the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Mercedes Lewis. All right, Rank, here he is, a guy who I got to know on, another hard-hitting episode of Talking Ball about a year ago. Mm-hmm. He was forthcoming. I misunderstood. His name isn't spelled Mercedes like the car. It's Mercedes.
Yes.
Yeah, so I made that mistake, but he didn't embarrass me, which I appreciate. He was a gentleman about that. Here he is, the great tight end from the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Mercedes Lewis. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What's new? What's going on in Jacksonville? Coming off a nice little win there against Tennessee. What's the scoop there with Chad Henne and company?
Well, it's kind of weird. What's new is that we finally got a win. We've been working towards that for a few weeks now. And, with Chad coming in there, he's one of those guys that he's been preparing as if he was a starter. He understands that he was one play away. And his move was called, and, he showed that.
What is the frame of mind at this point in the season? We were talking about, as fans of a team, you're 2-9. I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings for me to say you're probably not going to go to the playoffs this year. What happens in the locker room at this point? It's now December. You're basically playing it out here. Is the mentality, let's win every game? Or like, yeah, you know what, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we got a really high draft pick.
You know what? This is not the first time that I've been through a rough year here in Jacksonville, and I can honestly say that normally when you're going through something like this, as a team, as an organization, you can normally tell when guys start to split apart and move in different directions and not stay together. And I can honestly say that we've been together this whole time, and we're just looking to finish out strong. We look at it as, the end of this season. And the four preseason games, getting ready for next year. Obviously we can't change what's happened, and all we can do is focus on our preparation, and we're going to continue to prepare to win and play it out.
It seems like a lot of guys, like Chad Henne, has something to play for because he's trying to win a job possibly for next year, right?
You know what? Obviously I haven't talked to him as far as that goes. I know that when he first came in here, one of the things he told me was that he's not here to sit on the bench. He's not here to be a backup to begin with. And I think nobody in the NFL is here to be a backup. And if you have that mentality, then you probably shouldn't be in the NFL. And I think given the fact that he's always prepared as if he was the starter, he's been able to come in and have some success.
Mercedes, something I've talked with a bunch of guys about, and I get differing reactions to it. What do you think about my idea? Instead of the Pro Bowl, you maybe even go to the Pro Bowl this year. What about instead of the Pro Bowl, though? It seems like a lot of guys don't like to, for obvious reasons, to take really big hits in that. We do away with that, and instead we play the two teams that have the worst records. You play for the first overall pick. We do that in between the championship games and the Super Bowl. The two worst teams play for that first pick in the draft coming up.
No.
What do you mean, no? That's a great idea. No.
I'm not rolling with that.
Why?
Because, and that's something that I've never even thought about, something like that. What? Where did you come up with that? Who helped you come up with that?
In my brain, I came up with it. It's a great game. Everybody would love to watch that, no?
I don't know, man. I think that experience of going to Hawaii and playing in the Pro Bowl is a great experience. I don't know. That's kind of funny.
Well, the worst, even worse than that, like a number of years ago, we're talking 70s and 60s, the two teams that lost the championship games would play for third place. That would have to be the
most
depressing game.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was some sort of...
Who would want to play in that one? That's terrible.
Man, you guys are just coming up with your own.
I'm not making it up. That
you know what they? You know what they used to do? Here's what they should do. They used to play the Super Bowl champion would play the college all stars. How awesome would that be? Maybe now you just put a wrinkle into it. The worst team in NFL plays the national champion or the or college all stars. That'd be a fun game. That'd be a fun game to watch, wouldn't it, Mercedes?
That would never happen.
Speaking of college, I want to get your thoughts on, first of all, the resurgent UCLA Bruins and what you think about what's going on there. Have they taken over the city of Los Angeles? Have they reclaimed it from the USC Trojans?
You know what? I'm really excited about that. I'm a proud Bruin. Obviously, my senior year, we went 10-2, and you know, we finished up strong. And to see them finishing up the way that they're doing right now and handily whipping USC, that's exciting to me. I think Coach Moore is doing a great job with them guys. I was there in April to speak to the team during spring ball and whatever, so I understood the path that they were on the road too. So it's just exciting to see the growth of it all, and you know, I'm excited. And it's finally starting to turn around.
What did you make? I don't know if you got it over there in Florida, but it was a story here in Los Angeles this week that Jim Mora was confronted by a local reporter here and said, oh, you tried to lose that game, or you basically threw the game against Stanford because you didn't want to play Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. How say you on that one?
How about I just not comment on that? I mean, come on now.
I think it's hokum. I can't believe that the coaching staff would actually do that. Let's have our players lose this game, right? It's silly. It's not even worth addressing.
That would never happen. And let's give Stanford some credit.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. 100% on that. But yeah, kudos on getting that title there. And you're a man of style. When I saw you, you were a fashionable man. There's nothing better than in the Victory Bell game, the two teams wearing the home jerseys, right? You don't like that?
I don't know.
Mercedes. I don't know what to
say. Well,
it's
a tradition that dates back because both teams used to share the Coliseum.
We know why. You don't have to. Listen, I put my head together with coaches Carroll and Neuheisel back in '06 or '07, and I pressed them both. I said, we got to bring this tradition back. They were on board. They were all excited about it. The three figureheads of college football in Los Angeles, Neuheisel, Carroll, and Damashek at the time, we worked together and we brought it back, and now Mercedes Lewis is poo-pooing on it.
I'm indifferent.
Indifferent. Are we going to see MJD again before the end of the year?
I hope so. His rehab is coming along pretty good. Obviously, we're a better team with him in the lineup. So I hope he gets back pretty soon.
And last thing for you is Tyson. I think it's potentially maybe the best name in the NFL. Tyson Alualu, or how do you say it?
Tyson Alualu.
Yeah, people keep telling me it's Alualu, and it's a little less fun for me to say. I think Alualu is a little more fun to say.
Alualu, Alualu, Mercedes, Mercedes. I mean,
I get confused. I get confused. Last thing, then, what's the better blue uniform? The Jags when they wear the turquoise or teal blue, or the UCLA powder blue?
And don't say the UCLA powder blue. Trying to put emphasis on the powder. That blue, the UCLA blue has actually changed a little bit. It's gotten a little darker.
I've noticed that.
I like that blue.
I like the blue they were wearing against Stanford. I thought that uniform was sharp.
That navy blue?
Yeah. It's a good look.
I'm like Mercedes when it comes to the Victory Bell home jersey thing. I'm indifferent about those navies. Yeah. That's what I say there. Hey, Mercedes, you going to be out here in L.A. in the off season?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Let's play horse. I want to play horse because you know how to play basketball. How about Damashek versus Lewis for all the marbles in horse?
We could set that up.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll play Bruin. Maybe that's what we'll do. Bruin.
Whatever works. However you want to lose.
All right. I don't like that. I didn't ask for trash talking, Mercedes. I'm not interested in that. Well, I'll let my deeds speak for themselves. All right, cool. Mercedes Lewis. We appreciate the time and go get those Buffalo Bills. Go get some wings and then go get those Bills on Sunday.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes, the great Mercedes Lewis.
Dave.
Nice fella. I like yapping with him.
Big fan of his, absolutely.
You are. You're a big fan of his.
I am a big fan.
Oh, you're going to root for him to beat me in horse?
I will, of course.
Why? Why would you like to see that? He's a professional athlete. He's supposed to win.
I used to.
You root for Superman to beat Lex Luthor, too, I imagine. You're a front runner.
I'm not a front runner.
Of course Mercedes Lewis
Superman.
Should beat me.
Have you read this thing? I got to give you this book. It's called Red Sun. It's a reimagining of Superman as if he landed in the Soviet Union. It's incredible.
That's awesome.
It is so incredible.
I do like that the U.S., he just sides with the U.S.
Yes.
He's not for the world. He's not for one peaceful globe. He's much more red,
white,
and
American,
blue.
He's an American, yes.
I do like the idea of that.
It's such a great idea.
We should ask Mercedes Lewis about that. I can't believe he doesn't like my great game, my two loser, the loser bowl. All right, anyway, he's terrific, and that's that. All right, Handsome Hank, you've been holding on to that letter, and I appreciate it. And so that was, by the way, for a newcomer to the podcast, you may not know, Handsome Hank first came into the Dave Dameshek football program fold as sort of our social media guy. He was reading our favorite tweets and comments and everything else from football figures, and then he just emerged as a star all on his own. But now you're going old school,
breakout
and
star.
You've brought in.
I brought in a bit of show and tell. Apart from this is a podcast, so I can't show you. So I'm going to just tell instead. Fireman Ed, the Jets self-appointed, self-anointed fan.
Week, yes.
I mean, things have spiraled out of control once your lunatic fans begin becoming the story anywhere. Anyway, he wrote a letter to the New York Metro newspaper, I think it was called, explaining why he's stepping down from a role that he wasn't actually appointed to anyway, and sort of resigning. That's what he calls it. So I want to read some of this letter. I will provide some commentary because I think this is either he's a comedy genius or but I don't think that's the answer.
Don't think that's the case.
So on Thanksgiving night, I left the Jets game before halftime.
Mm.
This was the second time in a row I left before there were 4 zeros on the clock. We've had much worse teams than this, and I never left before. I pride myself in that, because I'm not a quitter. I'd just like to add a note here. Fireman Ed has been a Jets fan since 1975. Long-term Jets fan. What we don't know is that before that, at the age of 10, he became a Jets fan. Up until that point, he was actually a Miami Dolphins fan.
Mm.
And his favorite player growing up was Paul Warfield, not a Jet. So he's not a quitter. He's never quit on a team before. I decided to leave Thursday.
Sounds like you're saying he's exactly that,
right.
But all right.
You're reading between the lines.
That's what I'm doing.
I decided to leave Thursday because the confrontations with other Jets fans have become more common, even though most Jets fans are fantastic. This is an indication of how society is lost and is continuing to lose respect for one another. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on about some rubbish.
A man who wears his fire hat to the stadium.
This is my favorite bit. This is my favorite bit. Although I can hold my own, I do not want to lose my temper and make a stupid mistake. I have a responsibility to the families and kids that enjoy the game and Fireman Ed. By saying that, it's almost like Fireman Ed is Santa or the Easter Bunny or something. Like,
yes.
Kids aren't going to believe in Fireman Ed, or worse, think Fireman Ed's a bad guy.
Well, you know that, like, I did the countdown of the 6 worst soul-crushing losses of the season. You can find it at NFL.com/AdamRank. Thank you very much. And I used the lead-in of Fireman Ed quitting, and his fanboys were like, he didn't quit because the Jets were bad. It's because Jets fans were haranguing him. And I'm like, nope, he's still a loser.
But so here's the best bit.
Are his services now open for
the
other 31 teams?
This is interesting because he says, I've enjoyed my time enchanting the greatest chant in sports. He spells out the word Jets. How will Jets fans do it from now on? They're going to be like, we need that guy, the guy with the helmet, to remind us. I know there's a J and some other.
Well, even that, by the way, isn't that even stolen? Isn't that stolen from the UCLA? UCLA. Isn't that UCLA?
Regardless of who stole who, that's not the greatest chant in sports. Spelling your team's name.
What about the USA one?
It can't be.
What if it's USA?
I don't know, but
maybe
email.
He can lead, maybe he
email.
Can lead us
I mean, tweet me at Dameshek, at Adam Rank, at NFL UK Hank. Let us know what is the best chant. That's a good question. I like that. Let's take that up. What's the best cheer for a fan?
Man, I feel that it's going to come from the world of wrestling. Just because they
it's hard to not argue J-E-T-S. I'll tell you that right now.
I kind of like that one, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
it's not. Hey, it's spelling the team's name.
Well, I wonder if some. But I mean, are the Jags or somebody like that going to now go out and get Fireman Ed? All right, listen. We'll take this up next week. I have to make way to Hotlanta now for the Saints and Falcons. Handsome Hank, a pleasure to see you. Thanks to Mercedes Lewis, a delight always. Can't wait to see him in Studio 66 sooner rather than later. Black Tie, fine job. Adam Rank, very good. Next week, let's get into this thing, the most soul-crushing losses in NFL history, because I have a lot of thoughts on that.
I was going to say, the Chargers are still playing this week, so that might happen.
All right, listen, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce next week. In the meantime, it's time for the Around the League Debate Club. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Hansis, joined, as always, by a man whose professional football analysis has curious powers over women folk, Mark Sessler.
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm not sure that's accurate on any level, but that would be in line with most of your football reporting. So,
well, you know, what's going on?
Not too much. How was your Thanksgiving?
It wasn't that good. I mean, I had I had picked in our NFL around the league picks, I had taken the Lions.
Right.
And had that stolen from me, a hero pick. And if you follow along with our picks on the Around the League blog, a hero pick is one where we have five people making picks and only one of the people in this group picks a team. So I was the only one to pick the Lions over the Texans. And we saw what happened. We had the, you know, Forsett. Down by contact. Those are 8 yards. Goes 81 yards. Jim Schwartz ruins my life. Jason Hansen misses a 47-yard field goal. And then the cherry on the sundae, I had a second hero pick, which was, and you know this one, it was even more painful. You were next to me. 4th and 29, I had the Chargers. The only man, I am the champion of the underdog, the only man enough to pick the Chargers in that spot. And all they need to do is make a stop on 4th and 29, and Norv Turner's band of merry cowards fails me.
Dan, you do realize that a hero pick is when you get it right. I mean, you can be the only one to pick something, but last I looked, if your team making picks was an actual team, the coach would be retained after this season, shredded, let go. I mean, where are you in this thing? Are you deep in the distance?
I'm in last place, but because I am the champion of the underdog, which I have a trademark on.
Self-branded,
yes. Self-proclaimed. You were in first place, so you deserve credit. I will.
I don't need
tell you
to. I'll just do the Patriots
don't
thing.
Down,
I just won't. No, listen. I won't
down
say
to
anything.
Me. don't patronize me.
We've somehow the tenor in the office has remained civil despite you were up in the mix and you've faded recently. I'm not sure what's going on.
I need to start going more mainstream with my picks.
Yeah, people don't care about this also.
No, who cares? Let's talk about something. Henry Handsome Hank on the Dave Damashek football program on today's podcast. He read Fireman Ed of New York Jets superfam his letter in the Metro, which is a free daily newspaper in
right.
New York. I'm not sure how he didn't get the New York Post or the Daily News.
It's a fair question.
Or even Newsday. He gets the Metro. I'm not sure how that happened. Handsome Hank in his beautiful voice read the letter. And let's talk about this a little bit. Mark, what did you think about Fireman Ed retiring?
Well, I mean, it's embarrassing. I'm not sure that he ever had a job to begin with, so I'm not sure he can sit down and retire. I mean, obviously he drew a lot of fire. At the same time, I found it a little bit of an emotional response for a guy that really has already been through so much with this team. Was this really the lowest point, this Thursday night loss? It was bad.
Well, no, he made it clear, and he had been with the team when they went 4-29 over 95 and 96. This is by far, a lot of people think Mark Sanchez running into the derriere of his linemen is somehow the worst thing, and the Jets are the biggest joke they've ever been. This isn't even close.
No.
And which Ed mentions in his open letter that I've been through worse. I didn't leave because of that. I left because I am getting, basically, people are stepping up to me in the stands trying to cause fights with me, and I just don't want to deal with that anymore. And I was talking to my dad, who's yesterday on the phone, who's been a Jets fan going back to the Namath days, and you know, he took me to a lot of games from the late 80s through the 90s into the 2000s. We went to a lot of games. And I can attest, Fireman Ed made an error in doing this because people are, if anything, people are only going to go after him more now when they see him.
Of course.
But I can attest that it is a salty crowd at the Meadowlands at a Jet game when you factor in that the team is perpetually letting down the fan base and frustrating people. And then you factor in the average 7.4 beers to each customer in the stadium.
Right.
And that's factoring in the
man,
people
woman,
that are,
and child.
You're factoring in the children that aren't drinking, hopefully, the recovering alcoholics that are staying away, people that abstain, like pure people like you, although you do drink, as I know. But what I'm saying is there
good
are
to
people.
Get that out there.
Yeah, there are people that are drinking, 13 beers before a game starts.
Right.
And they're looking to fight. So I understand that. I understand he's in that bad spot. But I just want to, and Bryce behind the glass today, if you could play the YouTube clip that Mark sent me of Jet fans just destroying the team when they went into the tunnel at halftime on Thursday night.
You guys are a disgrace.
Tebow, I want you in the second half.
There it is. Now, that was rough.
It is. You know, I got to say one thing, though. It's not as if if MetLife is that much rowdier than, for instance, the dog pound on a bad day. I mean, that is a lathered-up fan base. But one thing that Ed said that concerned me, he said he was going to still go to games, right?
Right.
As a non-fireman, he's just going to be Ed undressed up in his, you know.
Just Ed. In quotes, Ed.
Ed the man, who apparently has a day job somewhere. Isn't it impossible to get Jets-Giants tickets to the degree where how does he just decide to relocate? We're not at in a park having a picnic. How does he just go to another part of the stadium?
I think especially this season, tickets are very easy to come by on StubHub or any other site. He also mentioned in that open letter that he had friends and connections and he could move rather easily.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The whole thing is it's kind of sad. It's indicative of a lost season in New York and – you know, the silliness that's come to undermine this franchise where it seems like football has become this secondary story to the Jets being dysfunctional.
That's a good point. I mean, let me ask you one thing about do you think that when we go through, all right, this season ends, obviously barring Greg Rosenthal's prophecy that they're going to go 8-8 and make the playoffs.
Bizarre prophecy.
Very bizarre prophecy. Let's say, you know, a nice off season happens. There's some changes. There's new optimism around the Jets. Does he don the fireman hat and return next season with another article announcing his...
Who, Greg?
Well, no. Well, Greg will be back or will never leave. Fireman Ed, will he be back?
Oh, I thought you meant Fireman Greg, who I referenced in a post earlier last week. Maybe Greg took Ed's spot, but I don't think that's going to happen. I believe Fireman Ed will be back by next September. He's going to realize, listen, everybody is something in life,
right.
You know? Fireman Ed is Fireman Ed.
Right.
It's not like he's going to find a way to fill that hole in the center. And he's going to realize very quickly, you know, that's who I was, you know. He's not going to be now. He's not going to get into backgammon and go hang out on porches and, you know, forget about the Jets and pro football. He's going to realize this is who I am. And, the guy made a mistake, but there's been a lot of mistakes with the Jets this year.
I think that's why it's an embarrassing move because you're right. This is his identity. You know this guy's going to be back next season shouting his J-E-T-S. And I'm sorry, he'll never be the same guy after this.
Yeah, and that audio clip we played, I mean, that is the reason why he's saying he's stepping away. And I can't really blame him. You listen to the vitriol in that crowd. I mean, it's pretty rough. Speaking of Greg Rosenthal, this is going to be a first in the ATL Debate Club. Greg is our boss, essentially. He can make or break us. With the snap of a finger and a wave of the hand.
That's accurate.
So it makes sense to have him on.
It does.
It does.
Probably should have happened sooner.
Yes, and maybe we could ask him about that when he gets on. And let's talk to him right now because we want to talk about our Stick a Fork in Him series.
I think, yeah, and he is lording over that at the moment.
Right, it is one of, I think it's maybe our best series. We do many of them, but I like the conceit of it, and I like that it causes a lot of controversy on Twitter and the like. And Greg is, since it is his project, he kind of gets the final decision on who gets forked.
Yeah.
So let's talk to him about what's coming up. Greg, are you there?
What's up?
Hey, boss.
Hey, Greg. It's, of course, as you know, Mark and Dan.
This is big time. You guys letting me on your little podcast here.
Well, we were just saying this probably, from a political standpoint, for our own security, job-wise, this should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the Twitter followers, that would help too. You know, get a little retweet action.
Yeah. Our timing ill, as always.
Greg, so we were just talking about the Stick a Fork in Them series, which is, you know, it's your thing. I mean, you have the final call on who gets forked. And I guess we'll start, because we were just talking about Fireman Ed. Let's start with the Jets, because that's become very contentious within the office and over IM between all three of us. Mark, myself, and the rest of America seems to think the Jets are done. Greg, you still think there's a chance?
Well, there is a fork committee that meets. It may not involve any other people outside of my own head, but a lot goes into the decision. I think the Jets are still alive. Look at the schedule. The Cardinals this week. Who do we have next week? The Jets, the Jaguars. I'm using we for the Jets, by the way.
I love this.
Well, it's shifted into we.
I think I just smell a three-game winning streak, something like that, and people saying, could the Jets really be alive? I don't think they'll quite make it, but that's what I'm feeling.
I mean, let me ask you one thing. Why do other teams facing the Jets down the stretch, these easy schedule teams, not look at New York and say the same thing about a defense that's given up, what is it, 30-something points a game over the last four or five?
Oh, it's been great.
It's been ugly.
Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and they did come out, and they won in St. Louis, and those are the types of games they're playing. They got, what is it, Arizona, Jacksonville, Tennessee, San Diego, Buffalo. I don't know. The fork is obviously a mercurial thing. It's not really predictable. It's just a gut feel. We killed the Chargers this week. You know, I'm tempted to kill the Vikings right now, but I just, in my gut, I feel like the Jets are going to surprise everyone. I know I'm on a limb.
And maybe I should jump in here, and this really speaks to the flaws that Mark and I have as broadcasters, but we never said what the fork means. And it means, yeah. Greg, why don't you say it, actually?
Well, it's when we say their season's over. And they might not be mathematically out of it, but we're confident they are not going to make the playoffs. Maybe they'll even make a little, you know, mini run to get us worried. Right now, the Redskins are really the only team that we've forked so far. That it could give us some problems.
What would you say? I mean, so, all right, the Jets are obviously insanely safe in your mind. What team is hovering the closest to being taken away from the landscape at this point?
Ah, well, the Jets and the Bills are right at the top. The Vikings, I would say, would be next. Even though they're 6-5, I think I'm going to fork them if they lose to the Packers this week.
Who has been your most surprising fork that you've done where you were – you're kind of, as you were writing, you were like, I can't believe I'm doing this already.
The Lions. Yeah. I thought they would get in the mix. And it's funny, if they had just won that game and gotten you your pick on Thanksgiving, they'd kind of be in the mix at 5-6. You know, I use numbers as part of it. Part of it is playoff odds that, sometimes it goes along with my gut. You know, the Jets, for instance, have about a 5% chance to make the playoffs, according to Football Outsiders. That's pretty low.
Yeah.
But it's actually about the same as the Vikings, who are about 6 or 7%, and they have a winning record. So a lot goes into the fork. It's not just willy-nilly.
And how's everything else, Greg?
It's pretty good. I got to go downstairs and help bring up my daughter, Ellis, you know, up the stairs in a little bit. It's a big day.
She's a beautiful girl. I've seen her picture on your desk. You are a happily married man with a great family, and it's great to have you as a guy to look up to in the Around the League family.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Greg, thank you very much for coming on. We should do this again for sure, right?
Greg, I am with you.
When we're talking about the 6-7 Jets in a couple weeks, and you guys can say I got it right.
I like it because you are now the biggest Jets fan in ATL, and it's pretty incredible. That is the reality we live in now.
It's sad.
All right, Greg, thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye. And that's all the time we have today.
Are we out of time already?
That's it. That's it. That's all we get. A lot of people get an hour for their podcast, some more. We get about 12 minutes.
All right, before we go, we were pretty convinced that we may be the only people, maybe along with our wives who are forced to listen to this, the only people listening to this show.
Yeah.
You had an idea about...
Well, right, Adam Rank, every time we're on the Dave Damashek football program, Dave, who listens to the show, turns to Rank and says, "Have you listened yet?" And Rank says some smarmy remark.
Well, clearly he's never listened to the show.
He said he's going to listen this week. Right. So we decided let's test him and let's drop a code word. Okay?
I like it.
And that code word is?
Skinny tie.
Skinny tie. Well, it's two words. But, you know, let's not get stuck with
it. Why is it skinny tie?
Because that is the fashion accessory that Rank has really embraced in the past 12 to 14 months that I have noticed.
So what does Rank need to do?
All he has to do is just say skinny tie, and we'll know that he listened. But we're not going to say anything. And we'll leave it there. Rank, if you're listening, you could really stick it to us right now. But for now, let's stick a fork in the ATL Debate Club. See you next week.
Next week.